welcome everyone to the Kabbalah Therapy podcast. I'm your host, Alan, and I'm here with my co-host, Ben, the Planeswalker of your heart.
No,
he's currently eating, so
nope.
He can't.
That's so unprofessional, eating during our podcast. Who would do that?
Very unprofessional. Almost as unprofessional as drinking.
It's so unprofessional. Podcast.
Yep. It's been quite a while since our last cast. We've both been very, very busy.
Yeah.
But anyways, on the docket today, we're going to talk about Magic we've been playing since our last cast, which, you know, should be a lot since it's been so long. And then we'll talk about some Shadows over Innistrad cards. And then we'll talk about our random standard league that we've been playing. So that is what's up. Ben, what magical things have you been up to?
Well, I've played quite a bit of FNM draft. You know, well, the past month I had two-headed giant every week. Lots of fun.
Good stuff.
Yeah,
my ice isn't really loud. Oh, dear. I'll try not to drink.
You could just fill your glass up more and make nice noises.
Well, it's only making noises because I just emptied.
Anyways,
it, so
there's been that. We've gone to a couple PPTQs, running green red ramp. Really learning the deck a lot, which is great because rotation's about to happen and it's not going to be the same anymore. So that'll be fantastic.
Yeah. Although to be fair, you're not.
I'm losing Vital Claw Mystic, which I don't know if that's a huge deal or not yet. We'll find out. I've been playtesting Honored Hierarch a lot. I kind of like it.
Isn't there another 2-mana?
Yeah, Leaf Gilder. Leaf Gilder. 2-mana test for a green. We also have the Beast Savant, but he only casts creature spells, so it's, you know, not really worth it, I don't think. Hierarch, at least in the current meta, almost always becomes renowned, so especially on the play, because everybody plays something tap or doesn't have a turn one play. People don't play one drop creature.
That's true.
And, if your red deck wins anyways, if you play a one-drop like Swift Spear, you're going to attack with it. You're not going to sit back to block my Hierarch, are you?
No. No, I'm not.
Got that going.
Yeah. I'm going to let you get it online, and then I'm going to bolt it.
Fair enough. So that's what I've been doing. Me and you were just at a PPTQ recently where we both almost topped 8. Or I think we figured it out. If I won a top 8.
That's true.
Right? Is that how it works out?
No, I actually went and looked back at it, and if you had won, I would have top 8 because your tiebreakers were only so good because
that could beat me. That makes sense.
Yeah, because he beat. Yeah,
there would have been worse if they beat him. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Either way, we were both on the cup. We both lost. You lost 2 win-and-ins? 3 win-and-ins?
Yes, I lost 2 win-and-ins. Yep. It was really good. And then I had a third potential win-and-in if you and I both won. And I won that one because there wasn't too much pressure. And then you lost.
And
that
I lost
one,
my
so
win-and-in too, so it's okay.
Pretty sad. Yeah. And I think the week before or 2 weeks before I played another PPTQ, which I also bubbled at night. So yeah, that was
does what?
Yeah, due to a key
misplays are good because then you never do them again, right?
It's
I will never not sack Saint
and lose again. So yeah,
I'll never forget Rose as a card.
Yeah, and in other news. Every single time I beat someone playing Jeskai Black, they ask like these like really like leading questions like do you play a lot or like they're like so do you live like real close to here or like did you just decide
they're
to come by?
You beat them or just because?
Yeah, because they think I'm just a scrub because I'm playing a target red, and I'm like. No, I
or still hate that deck. I think it's still
think
just
like
Black is like one of the worst decks right now.
And I'm like
I don't get it. I don't understand.
I mean, it's full of good cards.
It just doesn't work.
It's full of good cards, but I don't know. It's just not. It's a little.
Yeah.
It's a little clunky. It just is. It's full of good cards, but it's a little clunky. I think that Grixis control is slightly better positioned right now, to be honest. So, I mean, that's why my win rate against Just Get Black is just very, I don't know, I think I'm like 80%
yeah, that makes sense.
Or something stupid, because it's just, they stumble, and then I win. And then, that's what happens. Yeah. But, I don't know. In my last PBDQ I went to, I was undefeated and paired up against the only other undefeated who was also on a Tarka Red, but he was on the go wide plan instead of the combo plan, which is what I was still on. And we had kind of had a discussion about it, and he was like, you know, I really think you're doing it incorrectly. You should just switch to the go wide plan. It's much more consistent. You're not going to get blown out. and generally, I think for the most part, I agree, but I think my rally matchup is a lot better because I have the combo. Because we basically just race and then I combo them out faster. Whereas he doesn't do it quite as consistently. So I have never lost a match to rally in a competitive event.
I'm surprised at how many rally decks I haven't seen or run into, because I seriously think, rally / Coco, I think both are like the top decks pretty much.
I definitely think rally is the top deck. I think.
Yeah, Bank.
You mean like Bant Coco? Okay. Yeah, I think that's a pretty sweet deck as well. But I don't know. I don't really see why you would play that over rally. I mean, because like you have like a little bit stronger of like threats, but you don't have like rally just has like inevitability.
It's funny because like for me, like playing ranked, rally has not been an issue at all. I haven't lost a single rally matchup, but I've lost like to Coco every single time. I can't.
Yeah, I mean that makes sense because Coco, they're fast. Faster than you, and like they have
that's
big
the
butts,
biggest issue.
Which is probably hard for you to deal with. Whereas, because I guess you can handle the beat plan from rally with Kozilek returns, etc.
Yeah,
am I correct in thinking that? So then, and then in terms of like you starting to go off, like dropping fatties. And them going off like with a rally, you're probably a little bit faster.
I mean, it's really, I get to start limiting resources, then people can't do stuff. Like, that's why I can beat Mardu, like Mardu Green or whatever it is, or Red Aspen, whatever that deck is, because like these like four color decks, etc., they'll like not have one color. Like, they won't have enough of one color. So if you world break like one land, it like stumbles their entire plan. And by the time they can like recover, or if they have a recovery, you just do it again. I mean, just do it again.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest though, like in that example, I mean, even if their mana was better, Mardu Green has 12 threats and they all cost like 4 or 5 mana, and they don't have counter spells. So it's just you have such inevitability over them, and they can't pose enough of
that's true.
A clock against you. I mean, not that I'm an expert in that matchup.
That's fine. That's all you need.
I know,
to know.
Like nothing about ramp. Yeah. Cool.
Let's talk shadows.
Yep. Still drinking margaritas. Yeah. Let's talk shadows. Okay. So we're gonna go over our favorite mythic, rare, uncommon, and common. Like each of us.
Yep.
So we agreed. All right.
Let's start at mythics because I think it's like more clear. I think it's harder to choose a common, right? People disagree on common.
Okay, yeah, yep, that's fair.
Mythic is actually my top.
So what mythic are you most excited for?
Some of them are like pet favorites, and I don't want to choose the obvious choices because that's no fun. But I think I would choose the one I'm most excited about is Relentless Dead. I think that's going to be great. I really hope a zombie deck forms. For whatever reason, I have a soft spot for zombie deck. I think any tribal deck, really, right? But I mean, he's 2 black, 4, 2/2. It's a zombie. He has menace. When he dies, you may pay a black. If you do, you return it to your hand, so you can keep recurring him. When he dies, you can pay an amount X, all colorless. If you do, return another target zombie card, creature card, commander, mana cost X from your graveyard to the battlefield, which seems pretty powerful late game and stuff, too. Well, it seems like they might not want to kill him because of what's in your graveyard, right?
Mm. I think the thing that makes this card stand out the most to me, and like, you know, maybe this is totally irrelevant because, you know, you're being aggressive with it.
Yeah.
But the fact that it doesn't come into play tapped is pretty nuts to me. Maybe not nuts, but it's just interesting. Like, it definitely opens up the options for what you can do.
It's also got mana.
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
That's true. You can just use it as a permanent blocker.
You could recur them, right? You can just constantly have one come into play if you have one in the graveyard, right?
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could just recur the other one and let that one stay in the graveyard.
The other thing that's also cool is that not either or. You can do both abilities, which is sick, right? So you don't necessarily lose the Relentless Dead. You can get the Relentless Dead back and a zombie into play. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think. What's your top mythic?
It's definitely a pretty cool card. So the only mythic that I am excited for is, you can cringe if you must, but Gold Knight Castigator. So it's 2 red-red for a 4/9 flying haste. If a source would deal damage to you, it deals double that damage to you instead. If a source would deal damage to Gold Knight Castigator, it deals double that damage instead. So it's essentially a 2... a 4/5 flying haste, since damage dealt to it is doubled for 4 mana, and it doubles damage that's dealt to you. So definitely not good in any sort of, you know, aggro mirror race, anything like that.
Yep.
Because if you're not killing them, you're dying on the crackback. But I think that this could have some potential as a top end in a red deck wins strategy. I know, you know, typical red deck lists with like 21 lands can usually support like 3 to 4 4-drops. So I think if you had this as like a 2 or 3 of, and it's the last card you play, I think it might just be good enough to get you there. And certainly, like, this is probably, you're probably going to board this out, you know, a lot, like against any aggro mirror, basically. But it's probably pretty strong to surprise drop this game one, and it's also a pretty good hedge against things that don't put any pressure on you at all, like control. So seems, I don't know, I can basically convince myself to play anything that has haste. So I guess.
So rares, I'm torn.
So what about rares?
So I'm torn because of, for the longest time, it was Thing in the Ice, right? Wherever that is, I can't see it right. I can't find it right now. But Thing in the Ice, because I think that card's, I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be good. But what came out that recently that I think is going to be really good, I'm excited for, is Cryptolith Rite, right? So that's a 1 green enchantment. Creatures you control have tap, add 1 mana of any color to your mana. I think the reason I like this so much is because I'm running ramp, and it essentially solves a lot of issues. Right. So all your creatures essentially become birds.
Hmm. Okay. That's very interesting.
It's interesting, and it almost solves the 1-drop, not having a 1-drop mana option. Almost. I mean, it would make it be 2 cards to do that. But I think when you're running the deck with other creatures in it, such as Sylvan Advocate and stuff, I mean, even if you're running Thought Knots, it allows you to do things and have protectors, but still be able to ramp, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's very interesting. I guess, so like you'd also, I guess it's kind of like you're pulled in different directions because you want to make sure that you can also function without having to rely on doors. That, you know,
But you still have to play doors. So let's say you're running, say, Haunted Hierarch, right? If you have it, it kind of gives you the added benefit of you don't need to be able to swing with it. You can drop this turn two and still have the extra mana if it matters, but it kind of hedges against that. I think it's just additional ramp. I don't think it's something you can count on or you really want to run four of, because you don't really want multiples unless you can discard it for a good reason. I guess you could run like four of them, but it's interesting. I'll be interested to see how it goes, and that's why I like it.
Yeah. I definitely would not have thought of that in that application, but it definitely seems worth trying. Definitely seems interesting. You know, it might allow you to run.
Yeah, it's the other thing like too. You could start running and use them as ramp, right?
And stuff like that.
It can also hedge against Dromoka commands if you're counting on
that's,
your.
That's interesting.
Oaths for your planeswalkers, but you shouldn't really need to worry about that. It's come up before.
Okay. Yeah, you need your Oath of Nessa to be able to cast Chandra because you don't have two red sources, something like that. You know, like, yeah, you could sacrifice this instead, or
that too.
I mean, this might even help you
Be
able to have the two red for it. You know, that sounds good. So me for rares, I'm sorry to say it's going to be another red card. And Falcon Wrath Gorger is a red Savannahlands with upside. So seems pretty good to me. Is one red for a single red, not one in a red, but single red for a 2/1. And each vampire creature card you own that is on the battlefield has madness equal to its mana cost. I'm most excited about just sticking it in red deck wins type strategy, but definitely if there's a black red vampires deck, I assume that this will be in it. So it seems like a pretty good card. I also think Gear Reach Bandit is kind of cool, but I
where's Gear Reach Bandit?
I think it has haste, to be honest. I'll tell you what it is. It's 2 and a red for a 3/2 human rogue werewolf. He has haste. At the beginning of each upkeep, if no spells were cast last turn, transform him. So on the flip side, he's a 4/3, and
you can
whenever a werewolf comes into play,
that seems like it could be pretty good.
You can transform it. Yeah. So like it kind of just seems like, you know, 3 for a 3/2 with haste, you know, with the ability to transform into a 4/3 that can transform.
I think it really puts your opponent in a predicament.
So that seems cool to me.
Because you can do that on turn 3, and they, like, say you went first, right? Their turn 4, they're, like, in a situation where they have to cast 2 spells, right?
Maybe the next turn, but he's not going to be
Yeah, not their turn 3, but their turn 4, right?
You know, that turn, so. Okay. But they could just. Right, like if I don't play any spells on turn 4. Like if you cast this turn 3, then don't play any spells turn 4. He's going to flip, and then...
Yeah, but then they also have to play a spell on their turn.
Right, or your opponent has to play a spell.
Yeah, they have to play two spells on 3 mana or 2 spells on 4 mana.
Right. Yeah. It's actually... I don't know, I'm not... I mean, see, this is why I'm not... Like, not actually that big on this, because... Like, I didn't play during Innistrad. So I don't really know like how reliably like these things can flip, like how it seems like a lot of the time it might just be out of your control, kind of, you know, like you can go through some effort and not casting spells to try and get something to flip and like, you know, your opponent can just play something at the end of your turn or, you know, different things like.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like sometimes you can be able to control it and sometimes you just can't. So, but I mean, you know, I never play with the other werewolves in Innistrad.
It'll be interesting.
It's hard. It's definitely hard for me to evaluate. You know, I'm gonna stick with my 2/1s for 1. Not worry about this card evaluation nonsense. Didn't you say you
were torn? Did I not say the other one? It's Thing in the Ice.
What was the other thing you were?
I like that a lot. I think it's gonna be good.
Oh, Thing in the Ice. Okay.
Especially if that that red blue prowess deck sticks around, adding madness.
I mean, it's possible.
I think it'll be good.
Yeah, I'm just.
We will see. Know.
We'll see, I guess. Yeah, we'll see. While we're talking about rares, Epiphany at the Drowning Yard. If a single thing had been different about this card, it would have been my favorite rare. And if that had been that your opponent makes it into piles and you get to choose, I would have loved this card. But where you make the piles and your opponent chooses, it just really limits what you can do with it. Because like early game, like if you wanna it has X, you know, which makes it flexible. So like you can cast it early game
you have to cast it for at least three.
I mean
two colors. You have to spend 3 minutes.
Like X equals two. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So you have to cast it for at least three total, and then your opponent chooses which card that you get. So like if you're doing that, like usually you're digging for lands, you know, like at that point in time. And so your opponent can just very easily not give you the land. Or if they've stuck something that you need to answer, you know, maybe you're digging for a cheap removal spell, like for their Jace or something. And so they can just not give you that. Like, it's just, you know, if you need to cast it early, no matter what, you're not getting what you want, which really sucks. And it gets better late game, where you can make, like, pretty even piles. And then, you know, just get the slightly worse pile, basically. But, like, it's also, I don't know, like you want this kind of effect in a control deck where you're running, like, a variety of answers. And if you have a variety of answers, like, you probably want, like, one specific thing is going to be the best thing in that scenario. And then your opponent could just choose to not give you that.
It's interesting because, like you said, so, it's typically something you'd see in a control deck.
I'm pretty sad about this.
But I could see it in, well, one, if you have Flip Jace, it might not matter when you cast it, whether they put it in your hand or not. But also, I can almost see it being run in the zombie deck. Because at that point, I mean, so many of them do things from the graveyard or recur from the graveyard that it might not matter what they put where. See what I'm saying? Like, if I have Risen Executioner, it doesn't matter if you put it in my graveyard.
I can definitely see that. Yeah. Yeah.
You give me that blue-black 3-drop, right? The other rare that's in the set.
Right.
You like if you put my graveyard, I can cast it from my graveyard, right? So it's like, so I think there might be strategies out there that run it where,
yeah,
it's not necessarily a control deck, but in decks that you're trying to get Delirium, or like to you, it doesn't matter if the card's in your graveyard or your hand.
Yeah. Okay, I think I was looking a bit narrowly at this card. You definitely made some really good points there. I wasn't thinking that you could actually be getting value from things going to the yard as well.
Yeah,
that definitely changes things. Like, it still has the same downside, but it also has a lot more upside than I was thinking.
So uncommons.
Yeah. Okay.
Mine's pretty obvious. I think you know it. Maybe don't.
Uncommons.
Where'd he go? I just had him. I can't remember his name right now. It's I'll tell you in a second. Manic Scribe. That's my uncommon. It's one in a blue, right? For a 0/3 human wizard. When he enters the battlefield, each opponent mills the top three cards. Then he has Delirium, and his Delirium is at the beginning of each opponent's upkeep, they mill three cards. I think he is fantastic. He is fantastic. He's a 2-drop spell.
I have no desire to play this card.
And Delirium, but. So I played a couple on Cockatrees, right? Because Innistrad's already out on that. And Delirium's pretty easy to get. It is super easy to get. Like, I am mind blown at how easy it is to get. Especially if you have Flip Jace. It's stupid. But you run, and like, so the build I was using it in was Sphinx's right? Blue red. And between Flip Jace and Tormenting Voices and Magmatic Insights, Delirium I would easily have all the time. Like, almost by turn 3. So, anyways, I think he's going to be good. Keep an eye out on him.
Okay. I will do that. I'm not convinced, but. I'm always up for being wrong. So my uncommon is Gibbering Fiend. One and a red for 2/1. He has an ETB trigger of it deals one damage to each opponent. So once again, my theme of I like anything that has haste or under the battlefield trigger, and it's red. But I like that. And he has delirium at the beginning of each opponent's upkeep. If you have delirium, he deals one damage to that player. So he could be, two for a 2/1 that pings your opponent when he enters the battlefield. That I don't know if that's quite good enough. We might have better options in the 2 slot, but it's certainly a contender. Could be there. If you have delirium, then I really like this card. But I'm just not sure how attainable delirium is in the deck where you want to play this. Because you could have instances of sorceries are easy. Creatures are a little bit harder because they have to die.
Yeah, you're not running fetch lands.
And then, what's the fourth thing going to be? You're going to, maybe if you discard something to an ability or, it's just not. Because, you want to drop this and just have that active, but it's just, and then, you could run it, with Infectious Bloodlust or something like that, which is an enchantment. But, then you start diluting, your creatures or diluting your instants and sorceries. And
you almost need, enchantment really that you can sack to do something or a creature that sacks and does something, right? In that deck. Yeah, or both, so that you can activate it.
Yeah.
Because, you're not going to run Evolving Wilds.
Or both.
I guess you could run Magmatic Insights, but you're not going to have that much land to begin with.
Yeah, could run Magmatic. Could throw a couple extra land in there and try that.
Still.
Or you could run Tormenting Voice, but I don't know. It's still just, not...
Yeah.
Like those cards... once you start doing that, you're not using your mana efficiently, which is the whole point of running an aggressive, defeats the point of running, these aggressive cards. So, I don't know. I really want to be able to play this with the Delirium active, but I haven't been able to find a way to do it yet. But I'm hoping that there's a way, because it'd be really sweet. Real sweet.
My comment is, it's the right card.
Let's move on to commons.
Where'd it go? Sorry, I was scrolling around. Lost it. Vessel of Volatility. I think all my cards are more or less based off the decks I'm currently running / want to run. Vessel of Volatility is... I think it's stupid. It's one color and one red for an enchantment, one color, one red, sack it, add 4 red to your man. Granted, it's not as good as, Pyretic Ritual or whatever, or the old one that got banned. But I feel like it's essentially the same thing, and it's pretty close to just being broken. It's going to be broken. Mm-hmm. Right? I don't know. It seems too good to me. Maybe I'm over-evaluating it, but I think it's real good. Not going to lie.
I mean, it's...
Yeah, that's true.
If you do it on the same turn, you net nothing.
Yeah, but the idea is you play it early, and then it's
you need a turn to set up.
Each turn, it's just an excessive... amount of ramp, right? So if I play it on turn 2, turn 5, I guess turn 5 I have 7 mana. I guess it's not that much ramp. If I haven't ramped at all. Play this turn 2, I play a Pilgrimage turn 3, I have 7 mana on turn 4. It's pretty good. I mean, that's equivalent to right now, if I play it's a turn 3, Explosive turn 4, then I have the same amount of mana, right? Or I have a little more, but it doesn't matter. I'm trying to hit 7, so it's also nice that I can slightly fix if you need the double red.
Yeah.
Just looking out for those Storm players, I said. Drop a couple of these, and a couple turns later, you have all the mana.
Yeah, certainly.
What's your common?
It's kind of tough to say, but...
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, Fiery Temper is a pretty cool reprint, and it's nice to have a burn spell that you can send to the dome, because we honestly haven't had a lot of those recently, so has a nice change of pace. So I might just have to say that, but there is a card, it's 2 and a red,
yep,
that gives +1/+1 in Double Strike. It's called Uncaged Fury. So that's pretty cool as well. That three is a bit expensive for that kind of effect, but could be good. Yeah. I also kind of like Grotesque Mutation, which is 1 and a black. Target creature gets +3/+1 and gains lifelink until end of turn.
It'll be a fantastic and limited.
You know, on the surface, it doesn't seem great, but it might. Yeah, that would be great. It might be a pretty good sideboard card that you bring in aggro mirrors if you're running like, you know, black red aggressive deck. You know, this could be just enough to like swing things. You know, could let you make an attack, you know, late game when you're both basically hellbent, you know, that you would have died on the crackback from doing, you know. So
do you have a favorite
flavor card from this set? That looks pretty cool.
So like flavor wise, I have two. My favorite was from Under the Floorboards. I think it's really done. I think it just captures the flavor of the set a lot. It's zombies coming out of your floorboards. It's pretty horrifying. I think it really captured it. But then I saw the most magnificent legendary creature I've ever seen. The G-Trog Monster. 3 black and a green for 6/6 death touch. At the beginning of your upkeep, sacrifice the G-Trog Monster unless you sacrifice a land. You may play an additional land on each of your turns. Whenever one or more land cards are put into your grave, you may draw a card. It is a frog horror. It is a massive frog horror that just eats everything. If that's not horrifying, I don't know what is. I mean, you know, the epitome of horror right there.
It's true. Yeah. You know, I noticed that a lot of the cards in this set, you know, are kind of monstrous or like zombies or like, you know, kind of like scary things. It seems, you think that was planned or?
I don't think it's about the average amount. Clerics, angels, zombies.
It seems like slightly more.
It definitely has nothing to do with Lovecraft or.
But, I don't know. If I'm not wrong. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, we did start late though.
Let's move on.
We probably talked for like 20 minutes before.
We're getting up there in the time.
But that's okay. Let's move on anyways.
Oh, good point.
G-Trog Monster. I'm going to own 6 of them.
Let's move on anyways. All right.
He's baller. I like G-Trog
Monster. But yeah, that guy does look like pretty interesting.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I think he has
a place in standard. Is that something that you would play in EDH?
In the right deck?
Okay. There is there is that 6-drop that returns to
talking about season past, turning any number of cards from different commander.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about.
What are you talking about?
Never mind.
Something else.
okay. No, I was thinking of
the you're thinking of the guy from Battle I think Battle. He's a, like he returns a card when he enters play. He returns a card when he dies. Yeah, there.
Oh, Green Warden. No. I was thinking of there's
and what?
There's like a.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking of Ever After and Sidisi. So like you play Sidisi. Sack him to his own trigger, and you go and search and find Ever After. The next turn, you play Ever After, return Sidisi and another creature to the battlefield, shuffle Ever After, or you put Ever After in the bottom of your library, and then Sidisi comes in, you sack him to himself again, find Ever After, and
that's
then,
pretty good.
So like you could do that every turn.
That seemed pretty
good. You know, as long as you have another creature that you want to get back from your yard. Yeah.
I mean, you can run Daemonic Pact and make him
pretty, pretty slow, pretty dirty, but it's
whatever it is. Not Daemonic.
I don't even want to touch that card. If someone else, you know, wants to brew a sweet deck with that, you know, and it turns out great, I would play it, but I'm not going to do it. It's beyond me. Let's move on. Let's talk about Remedy Magic. Just to pause for a second. Random Magic is a format we created to play with our playgroup to keep things fresh and exercise our deck building and new format evaluation muscles. Basically, how it works is each month we pick 7 random sets, 2 base, 4 expansions, and 1 core to mimic a standard format, or how the standard format used to be. We then have a month to build and playtest decks before we meet and bash them against each other. So for the rest of this cast, we're just going to be talking about two rounds of that that we've played. So if you have no interest in that, feel free to stop listening. Now back to the show. I think we've played twice since last time we talked. So let's...
The first time.
Let's quickly go over the first... I think.
Yeah, we talked about round one.
So... so round two of this session.
Give me a second, I'll pull it up here.
I think. What sets do we have available?
Round two. Okay, so round two. Round two consisted of the sets 7th Edition, Legends, Shadowmoor, Arabian Nights, 5th Dawn, Saviors of Kamigawa, and Guild Pack. Which were some interesting sets. We got cards like Bazaar of Baghdad, you know, Saviors gave us some random stuff like what's-his-face, Arayo, what else popped up? A bunch of, you know, bunch of cards in the set. So one interesting thing was from the first round, Alan had a red deck wins deck, essentially.
Yeah.
Or he ran a Tarkir red, really, right? and he dominated. So everybody had the same thought that the meta would be right. Dominated by... red deck win decks, and everybody prepared for it, and not one person played it. So that was interesting. So,
right, there were some good red cards. And Shadowmoor had a strong like red green beats cards available, and I think I tested against you and against Matt. I think and I ran either ran red green or just burn against
everybody tried to outplay the best.
So
deck.
Everyone kind of assumed, like, everyone had red on the radar, basically. Yeah, and honestly, even I ended up switching and playing blue red because one, I was a bit worried that everyone was going to be super prepared for red, and two, I really wanted to play.
So the decks ranged. The best deck of the of the week was my Halloween Resurrection deck, obviously, because I'm good like that. Pretty much, I just abused Bazaar of Baghdad, Woodfall Primus, and, well, All's Hallow Eve is one, but what really took it over the top was Footsteps of the Goryeo, which is a 2 colors and a black. Return target creature from your graveyard to play and sacrifice at the end of turn. It's a terrible card. It doesn't give the creature haste or anything. It's sorcery speed, so it literally just puts it in play for the turn. But when you have Woodfall Primus, it essentially means 3 mana, destroy 2 lands, and have a 5/5 trample. So, yeah. Pretty good with persist.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you have something like
that persist, ended up dominating that week.
Pretty good.
I ran the table.
Have to say.
Our friend Ryan had a really interesting artifact / enchantment deck.
Yeah.
It's all based on, like, not allowing you to attack because of Skull... No, he had Skull Clamp. He had, like, Ensnaring Bridge, right? What is Ensnaring Bridge?
Yeah, he had main deck Ensnaring Bridge. And he had main deck... it's, like, an artifact that whenever you tapped a land for mana, you had to return it to your hand. So, basically...
How did he deal damage?
Try to stop creatures from being able to attack.
I never saw that.
And stop you from being
able to play. Oh, right. He had Seismic stuff. Assault.
So, it was Seismic Assault. So, yeah, he played Seismic, you know, then how he won was he played Seismic Assault, and then he could tap any of his lands for mana and just bounce it back to his own hand, and then discard them for damage. So it's basically like, you know, I forget what the term is, but like when you...
Prison? It's prison control.
Just have a bunch of permanents that don't let your opponent do
anything at all.
Yeah,
it's pretty interesting.
Prison, yeah. Basically prison. And then his win condition was Seismic Assault. Yeah, it was interesting. If I think he would have won less. I think he would have done a lot less well if we had all seen his deck list before we played, because he really can't.
Yeah.
Do anything
so, like,
at all.
I had in the sideboard. I had Fracturing.
Like,
Gust.
He can't win without Seismic Assault.
And I played Fracturing Gust, and game over. He, like, set up his prison and passed the turn without anything in his hand. And there's Fracturing Gust, and he had nothing anymore.
Right.
What? No, so Fracturing Gust destroys...
Oh, but he didn't have the land where he could bounce his lands?
Oh, I don't think he had. He like
he could have just done that in response. He could have bounced all his lands in response and discarded it to kill you.
Because he didn't know. Like, I mean, I don't think anybody really would have known unless they were playing it. That Fracturing Gust was a card, even.
Oh, right? Okay.
Like, you don't expect somebody to have a spell in their hand that destroys every single enchantment.
Yeah.
And artifact.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, definitely wouldn't.
Yeah, you know, nothing else.
Because there's no reason.
Pretty ballsy.
Yeah. I can't believe it.
Other than that, we saw a terrible fog deck that did terrible. It didn't win a game. So that's that.
Yep, that's that. Skip that. We had a
something lab
blue white control featuring Arayo and arcane lab, which allows only one spell to be played each turn. And then when Arayo flips, she says whenever your opponent casts their first spell, it's countered.
Yep. So
basically,
had a blue red temple build, right?
To
blue red
counter whatever your opponent plays. Yep, I was on blue red tempo, featuring such delights as Mana Drain and Counterspell and Chain Lightning, and also Swans of Bryn Argyl, because it was a 4/3 flyer for 4, which is quite the beatstick, and it's pretty nuts when I Chain Lightning it, and then
pretty good interaction.
Pay 2 more red and Chain Lightning it again and draw 6 cards. So
our week after that, that one was a while ago. Week after that was round 3.
Seemed good at the time.
The sets were Magic 2011, Scars of Mirrodin, Fallen Empires, Weatherlight, Scourge, Rise of the Eldrazi, and Legions. So this week was, this round was interesting. So the top two decks were Alan's Brew. they were both red deck wins. Go figure.
Featuring it's basically your standard 2020 deck. We had a bunch of bad goblins, and then Lightning Bolt, Goblin Grenade, Arc Trail, Thunderbolt, Stagger Shock, and Sulfuric Vortex, which is an all star.
Which one's that?
And then Pyrostatic Pillar out of the sideboard was also a pretty big player.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah,
that
it's one under red for an enchantment. Whenever a player plays a spell from their mana cost 3 or less, they take 2 damage. So Eidolon of the Great Revel, but just an enchantment.
Yeah. So I read.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. Because you were on like a combo deck, and I just played it turn 2, and then you couldn't win. So yeah. But yeah, basically, I brewed that up. Thought it was really good. One of our buddies didn't have a deck and wanted to play, so I just gave the same list, and
that's what happened.
We both went undefeated, except he beat me.
So I couldn't decide on anything.
As it happens,
and I really, really, really.
But wanted you had kind of a spicy deck.
So I built Doomsday terribly because it wasn't consistent, and I did it with Mind's Desire and Emrakul because. If anything's going to win your game, Emrakul's going to win your game. So the idea was pretty much to cast Doomsday with 2 Minds or 3 Minds Desires and 2 Emrakuls or some combination like that. I think it was 2 Minds Desires, another card in Emrakul, 2 Emrakuls. And essentially you'd have infinite Emrakuls or at least 2 and win the game. It didn't fare great. It won me a match and it won me 1 game outside of that match. So, yeah. Well, Alex, like, what was that? Not Thunderbolted me to Dome like 4 times game 1.
Yeah.
And then game 2 against him, I forgot to shuffle in my sideboard card.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my deck had.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I don't know, like 64 points of burn or something ridiculous. So, like, something just absurd like that. So, it was just, that's
for
that's
two.
What it does. But yeah, in one game, in our match, you cast a Mind's Desire for a storm count of 2, top decked a Doomsday, and, you know, that was game because, you know, you just put a series of Mind's Desires and
it was fantastic
miracles in his 5-card pile.
Mine's so Desire. Obviously,
Doomster. He was able to cast the Miracle. Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know. It's
just wasn't consistent.
It's what you were built to do, so.
Yeah, pretty much.
Can't get mad if it worked.
Yeah. I don't remember what Ryan's deck was.
Yeah, it seemed like one of the only times that it did work. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Tidewalker?
Oh, he was on blue-white control, but he was running the from Nemesis, the Wax, like, Parallax Wax and Parallax Wave. I remember that. They're enchantments that have fading counters, and you can remove fading counters to like exile creatures or exile lands. So he was running blue white control, utilizing those and Venser to bounce them like when they started running out of fading counters. So it's actually pretty sweet. But you beat him because he had I think he just had a little bit too much creature control, and you didn't. Didn't really affect you. And he lost to the two red winds because we killed way too fast for that shit.
I thought he beat
Elves. Even lost to Elves.
He won a match. Oh, no, wait. Did he win a match? Yeah, he won a match. They so must have been against Elves,
too fast.
Yeah.
Oh, he must have beat the Elves. All right, then. Yeah. That was the other deck that was floating around was combo Elves. I think...
Yeah.
Basically,
you had a way to tutor them. I don't remember how.
And also,
but
Colonian Hydra and Emrakul, I think.
Oh, Faunish. Faunish. Yeah, Faunish. Essentially, you could cast
the 2-mana 1/1 that you can pay 1 green. Yeah, Faunish. Right. And he could if the game went like semi long and he had creatures on board, he could. Fairly consistently cast a Miracle as well. Yeah. I think the deck actually would have been better if the pilot had.
Oh, did he not like block
tried
the creatures
to be more aggressive with the creatures and less reliant on comboing into fatties?
Or you think he could have just outswung you, outbeat you?
Oh, okay. I think he could have tried to race in at least one of our games. I think he could have raced me.
Yep.
And I don't know if he would have got there, but it would have been closer than him just
so that was
not
interesting.
Doing that and trying to.
It was an interesting week.
Trying to ramp.
Wasn't my favorite set of sets. Really? Yeah. I'm excited for this round.
It was. I think it was mine, to be honest. I mean.
Yeah, I got to pull it up because it's on there.
This round is pretty cool. Do you want to mention? Yeah. While you do that. I'll just say that, the fact that we had, like, Sulfuric Vortex and Lightning Bolt.
It was just insane.
And.
Everybody will compensate again.
God. Like, we just, there's just so much burn. It was just.
I got it.
I was just in love. Loved it.
Yep.
Loved it.
So, this coming round, we have Classic 6th Edition.
Yeah, but this coming round.
Battle for Zendikar, Shards of Valara, Visions, Versus Destiny, Plane Shift, and Legion. Some key cards in there are obviously the new Gideon, the new Ulamog. Shards has Ajani, Vengeance. It has Elspeth, Knight Errant. We have, I think it's Visions, is Rathalos. We got Metalworker, right? I think we have Metalworker too. I'm pretty sure we do. And Classic 6.
I don't know.
I think we have that. We also have.
Some I usually make a list like of the most popular cards in the sets, but it's not on this computer.
Yep.
Yeah. The tutors.
Worldly mystical, except.
Yeah, like the tutors from Mirage.
I looked through a little. I'm excited about it. There's some good options.
Yeah, worldly mystical and enlightened tutors.
I can pretty consistently right now cast. Ulamog on turn 3.
Any spice you'd like to share with the listeners?
It's so tough. And if not cast, I can at least get him into play. Yeah, it's fantastic. Not going to tell you because I don't want you to ruin it. Yeah.
Wow.
Let's just say Rathalos is stupid. And he is so easily broken, it's not even fair.
But we also have other stuff that's broken insane. Too. So
I feel like
you guys will have to wait till after we compete to find out because
the lead. Wow. Yeah. Gotcha. All right. Fair enough. But yeah, we would love it if any listeners, you know, want to, you know, brew some.
Yeah, we've also done a couple of deck texts. We should put them on the blog.
Feel free to
whatever.
You know, tweet them at us.
It's a good idea. So you guys can see our opinions of why we made the decks we've made, why we made the decisions we made. We kind of always question each other's every decision when it comes to deck making because we never see eye to eye. We definitely evaluate things a lot differently.
Mm. Yeah, definitely true. Yeah, I think so as well.
Yeah,
I definitely tend to.
You're very good at singular card evaluation. Like, you know what I mean?
Devalue synergy.
Like, this card is good by itself.
Yeah, right. But, yeah, like, I'm always hesitant to build things that are based on synergy. Because I'm just worried about, you know, them being picked apart.
That is true.
Yeah. But some of the best decks, you know, are built on synergy. So, I should probably get going. Yeah.
Word.
Yeah. All right, then. Let's see. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can email us at cabaltherapists@gmail.com, or you can find me on Twitter at @TheAllendorf, and you can find Ben at @BenjaminH.
This. How many margaritas
did you drink? I think that's it.
How many margaritas did you drink?
See you guys next time. Peace.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, there were definitely some points where you were like, I'm just fine. 12:45, about that time. Yeah. Been dead it all week, time to unwind. Train like a tank, lose my mind. Yeah. This shit crazy, way too bad. Rosé, babe, waste too stacked. Yeah. Hardest thing in the lot, that damn mind. Can't spell so, lost my mind. I'm hearing voices in my head, think I'm schizophrenic. Swear they saying let get it from another planet. 36,000 times, do a somersault. Do it right and you can live your whole summer off. I'm out my mind, yeah, nigga, seeing double, y'all. Tell me what's the chance of just a fucking both of y'all. She said, loans, we can do it with your ice on. If that the case, we might well leave the lights on. I'm out my mind, just blew 1,000 Swiss of sweets. In my black and orange charger, call it trick or treat. It ain't nothing to a boss, my goons got goons. How stupid, dumb, big, my room's got rooms. Why y'all trip? I'm just fine. 12:45, about that time. Been dead it all week, time to unwind. Train like a tank, lose my mind. This shit crazy, way too bad. Rosé, baby, waste too stacked. Put a thing in the lot, that damn mind. Can't spell so, lost my mind. Guess what my mama told me? She hate my partner. Guess why she hate him though? Cause all bitch holler. And where the PM man at? He need a blue dog. Old broke ass nigga, stop cop blocking. Security, I need help, cause the bitch stalking. A half fucking meal, that's what the whip cost me. $100, that's what the pussy cost me. And when the nigga start hating, that's when the nigga lost me. Fantastic, that's what the hoes call me. Why y'all trip? I'm just fine. 12:45, about that time. In my name and bring the whole city out. Doing what I do best, D-boy stunting. New car, old money, D-boy stunting. Step in cleaner than a new Glock 40. My nickname in the A strapped up, shouted. You know my nerve bad, trigger like a 2-2. Line riding around the corner, boy, too thick. Cheat code, black shades and my black chains. But if you wouldn't understand, it's a black thing. You know we drink that rosé until we black out. Wake up, drink some more and pass back out. Why y'all trip? I'm just fine. 12:45.